Thank you for tuning in today, and you're listening to the Provisions for the Redeemed broadcast. Hi, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker of Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries.
If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn. We're going to look at Psalms 24:1, but then go to Psalms 24:1, and but then go to Mark chapter 8. So if you have marked those two places, Psalms 24 verse 1 and then Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and Psalms 24. So if you I'm kind of flipping there myself. Okay, Psalms 24 verse 1, Mark chapter 8. And so we're going to be looking at several scriptures this morning and just kind of see what God is doing. This morning. So Psalms 24 verse 1, and it reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Father, we thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father God in heaven, we ask that you give us hearing ears and receiving hearts to hear what you have to say this morning. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to have your way today. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We invite you into our presence. And we hopefully, Father God in heaven, we ask to come into yours. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is faith to see a miracle. Faith to see a miracle. I wanted to start off with this scripture because it tells us and reminds us that no matter what it is we encounter, we're going to encounter God. Any faith, anything that we're believing for, God has to be factored in. But it comes in and it says to us, the earth belongs to God. Everything on this planet belongs to God. Everything in this planet belongs to God. So whether man is born again or not born again, they belong to God. Every single person, they can say all they want to, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist, I don't think God do this, I don't believe God, I don't believe in miracles, I don't believe in healing, I don't believe. They can go through all of what they don't believe. They can even serve and worship idol gods, but they still belong to God, the God. So it says the earth is the Lord's, and then the fullness thereof. And then that's where it says, and they that dwell therein. So no matter what they say, they still belong to God. But he's given us an opportunity to come in and to make him our Lord and our Savior. When he said, I died for the world, then he died for the whole world. Now, whether the whole world accept him as Lord and Savior or not, that's up to them. But he still died for them. Amen. So he still was making provision for them, even those that said that they don't believe. So later on, they might come into life and believe before they die and leave this earth. Yesterday, a lady was talking about one of her cousins, and she was saying that he had gotten into studying. He was into studying the witchcraft and all this kind of stuff, spiritual beings, Illuminati, and he was just getting off into that. She said, very intelligent. And so he got off into studying that. And so she encouraged him, well, okay, if you're going to be studying the spiritual realm, then you need to be studying God too. Well, I heard about the God that you said, do I heard about that. She said, well, study him. If you're going to go in and you're going to reference scriptures and you're going to, shouldn't you go in and study the God that you're referencing? And he said, well, yeah, I guess I should. You know, she said, and she remembered the Lord telling her to go in and to study metaphysics, I think. And so she said when she encountered her cousin, she realized why she needed to study it, because then she would have something to share with him to get him back to the Word of God. She said, as intelligent as this man is, she said, very intelligent. She said, but he'll get a hold of something and he's going to study it out. He's going to inquire about it. So she was saying that was the good part about it. So we knowing that if he get into the Word of God, then the Word of God is going to change. He's going to change. And she said, a minute, she told him, now when the God that you're serving, when that God can heal somebody, when that God can show you signs, wonders, and miracles, when you see that God do that, she said, then come back and tell me. Come back and tell me, she said, because he has something going on with his stomach and stuff like that. She said, now when your God heal that, you come and tell me. She said, because my God is a healer. My God is a deliverer. So she was telling him all that God is. Now, not was, but like we serve him, all that he is. She said, now when your God, this Illuminati stuff that you all off into, she said, when he heals you, you come and tell me. And she said, we know he's not going to come and tell her that. But she says, go to the word of God and you're going to see what God heals. So we all belong to God, and he cares about us. And what I love about God is he always have compassion on us and understanding concerning us. But he's always concerned about us. He wants us to have the very best. He wants us to have the absolute very best. Now, see, I've been caught up this week going back listening to Gloria Copeland and George Pearson on No Limits. I said, Lord, I want no limits. I got stuff that I want to come to pass in this earth realm, in my day and time, so there has to be no limits. And so in my own study, just listening to them and coming to my own studies, this is what the Holy Spirit was giving me, faith to see a miracle. Because what it is, we have to believe God that he's going to show up when we need him. We can't just say he's going to show up and then don't think about it, don't meditate on it. We have to learn how to meditate on it, and we got to believe it. We have to believe what we say. If we say it, we got to believe he's going to show up. He's going to do what we're asking him to do. And when we pray and believe, then that's what he's going to do. He's going to show up. So let's go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 says, in those days, the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Faith to see a miracle. Now, they had to do what God told them to do. When Jesus came in and he told them, they said, well, you know, it's time for they need to go and go get something to eat. He said, but they've been here 3 days and I can't send them away having not eaten for 3 days. He said, some of them have come so far that if they try to go back home, they're going to faint on the way. They're going to get sick on the way. They're not going to be able to make that travel, that journey, without having to eat something. They need something to eat. But the first thing I love about it, he says that I have compassion. God got compassion for us. What we're going through, he's compassionate. Anything we encounter, he is so concerned about us. God loves us so much that he wants to bless us. God just need to bless us because we his. We belong to him. We are his children. Every time Israel, the children of Israel, got into trouble, they would turn their backs on God. But God would always come back, bring them back into the fold. They were his children. He didn't just get rid of them and say, I'm just tired of these, just tired of them. Just tired of them. Let them go. If they want to go worship the Bible gods, let them go on. No, he would always raise up a prophet. He would always raise up a judge. He would bring somebody to the forefront to come in and to preach the gospel to them and bring them back to where they needed to be because he loved them so much. That's how God is about us. He loves us so much. He wants to bless us. So he says, take this and feed these people that have come to hear and to listen to the word of God. So they're out there. They have came. They came out here. Jesus been preaching to them for 3 days. Now that's 3 days. Just think about it, maybe a 3-day meeting. And they're getting ready to go home. And he says, wait a minute. We have to bless them before they leave. You ever get in a meeting? I went out to the Copelands. I think we'd have been out there probably twice. To the Southwest Believers Convention. And when you out there that whole week, oh my God, you so pumped up about the end of that week. You probably feel like you can pause some water when you get finished. Why? Because you have been in the Word at least 12 hours a day. Just in the Word, constantly in the Word. Right? 8, in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. 7 days, you're just out there in the Word, in the Word. And they let's see, no, it's 6 days, because that last day, Saturday, she always do the healing portion of it. I mean, it's just awesome because it's back to back. First thing, you get up in the morning, then you break for lunch, then you come back again, then you go eat your dinner, then you come back again. So you're looking at 3 sessions for 5 days, and then on that 6th day, she do that morning. But just awesome. So when you get finished, I mean, then you got all these speakers, and the anointing of God is so awesome in that place. Amen. It's just awesome. So you can imagine what the anointing must have been like when Jesus was sitting there teaching them for 3 days. And you can imagine just him, just Jesus himself, teaching for 3 whole days. So you know the presence, the anointing was there to feed these people. You know when the anointing is there to heal somebody. So the anointing was there to feed them. Amen. And so he asked them, what do you have? They say, all we have is 7 loaves. And what is that among all these thousands of people? So Jesus said, well, sit them down. And then you feed them. So what do you have? What is it that you have? We can say that we want to bless people. And then sometimes we say, but I don't have enough to bless them. I would really love to share this or to bless somebody like this or to come in and share this with somebody and bless them. But then when you go back, you look at your finances or you look at what you have and you say, but it's not enough. We can trust God to give us increase. We see right here that we have to have faith to see a miracle to give us increase. If we want to bless somebody and we don't have enough, then we can say to God, Lord, I want to bless this person, but right now I don't have enough. And this is what I really want to do. And you get before God and you petition God, he's going to give it to you. Lord, I want to go here and I want to do this, but I don't have the finances to do it. He'll do it for you. He'll make the finances, have the finances to come in for you to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do. But we have to have faith that he'll do that. So he tells the disciples, set them down. And the disciples did what he said because why? They had been in his presence for 3 whole days hearing the word of God, him teaching the word of God. And so when he sat down, they saw this miracle of him feeding all of these people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he sat down and they said, what do you have? We have some fish. We have a few fish. They take that, they bless that. And the Bible says, by the time they got finished, everybody there had eaten. Every single person had eaten. And they said they took up 7 baskets of food that was left over. And they had fed 4,000 people. But they only started off with a few fish, just a few fish and 7 loaves. So what will God do for us? When we get into the Word of God and you study this, when you start, one of the things I've seen, when I'm praying and I'm praying and praying and praying, but when I sit there and I mix the word of God with it, I see my prayers come just like that. I go back and say, okay, Lord, what scripture fits what it is I'm praying about? Then I go and I find that scripture that fits what it is I'm praying about. And then I pray that scripture. And then I just start seeing it popping up just like that. And he reminded me again this weekend. He says, get into the word again this morning. Go back and find whatever it is you're believing for, whatever it is the church is believing for. You go find that scripture, find the scripture, and you pray that scripture. The children of Israel will come before the Lord, and it says that they will remind him of what he said. They would tell the Lord what he said. Lord, you said. And the Bible said God is not a liar. God is not a liar. Satan is the liar. Satan is the father liar. He's, but God is not a liar. And what we count on in this day and age, if he said it once or twice or three or four times, however many times, if he said it then, he's still saying it today. And he'll still do the same thing for us today. So when we get a hold to the word of God and we come in and we remind the God what the word says, he hears us. He has to answer us. And I have found that your prayers come forth more just speedily. It comes forth speedily because now you're sitting down and you have the word of God. You're mixing it with prayer. You're in the presence of God and you're telling him what it is that you desire. But you're also showing him in his word. You've done it before. So I know you'll do it again. You said that I can have this. So I know if they had it then I know I can have it now. So all we have to do is go back and find the scripture and stand on the scripture. I was praying the other day. Still, I'm praying, you know, I'm praying about a car. So I'm praying about a car, And while I was praying, the Holy Spirit said, you know, Jesus had a new coat that he was riding upon. But here was the key. He said, and he didn't pay for it. I said, okay, Lord. Let me say it. He said, and he didn't pay for it. And so what he was telling me, you praying don't necessarily mean you have to pay for it. So while you're praying, sometimes we have little things that kind of catch us up, that keep us from moving on to where God wants us to be. For that, the little thing that I was praying was that, Lord, I need the finances to get the car. But what the Holy Spirit was showing me, no, you don't need the finances to get the car. So how I should be praying is, Lord, according to that scripture. If you made provisions for Jesus, Father God, if you made provisions for him to have this coat that he didn't pay for, then you can do the same thing for me. So that means now I found the scripture that I can stand on. Now, that was the same scripture I stood on when I had the Ford Explorer. But I was making car payments. But he enabled me to, I didn't miss a car payment. What car didn't miss one, not a one, and everyone was on time. And I wasn't even working. I don't even know how, I mean, in the natural, folks shouldn't have gave me no loan for a car because I didn't even have a job. But when I went into Redstone, he had the perfect person there. That lady there, she was a Christian, the perfect person that he could speak to. He had the loan officer that she had to go and get permission from over at the main office. So he was putting people into place because I had sat down, I took that scripture and I prayed. So now he's saying, I'm taking you to a higher level. Look at what it really says. Jesus had a coat that he didn't pay for. So now he's saying on the next level, you start praying differently, but you continue to pray on that scripture. We're praying for a larger building for the church. And so we use the scripture, Lord, that when Jesus needed a building, you provided this building and you provided one that was fully functioning and prepared, fully furnished and prepared. So when they went in to do the Passover, what? It was prepared. They had everything, all the furnishings, everything that they needed. And we've been standing on that. We've been standing on that for the church. And so again, he reminded me they didn't pay for it. Amen. They didn't pay for it. And so he reminded me again while I'm listening to the Copelands getting ready for church, and they were saying how they had to learn to live a debt-free life. Debt-free. They was learning to live debt-free. They said, but the way we did it, we got in the Word. Every opportunity that we could take to get in the Word, she said, we meditated on the Word. We came in, we found the scripture for it. When they found the scripture for it, they read that scripture. They meditated that scripture, and they reminded God, this is what you said. That if we are going to learn to live by faith, then we have to stand on the word of God. So if we are men and women of God, there's nothing impossible for God. If he could feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, imagine what he could do for us in this day and time. He haven't changed. He has not changed at all. But we have been conditioned by the world system that tells us this is how it's supposed to go. I mean, we've all seen God move miracle after miracle when folks tell us what they won't do and what they can't do. And then we've seen God move. Amen. We've seen him move. We've seen him do things for us. Amen. So what we're believing for. So I'm asking everybody today, take your faith up higher. Take your faith up higher. Tell you what he reminded me of this morning. I'm sitting there on my way to work. I'm praying, Lord, I want to build another house. I said, I want to build another house. And I want that house this time. I want to have where you can, when you drive in, you drive underground and you park your cars and stuff like that. I said, I won't need a 2 and 3 and 4 car garage. I can just pull my boat in. I can pull my cars in. Cars. And I said, this, I'm still going to build in the same area. I said, so if the tornado come through, all my stuff underground. I'm going to get underground, you know. I said, that's what I want. And so I had been praying that. On the way to work, on the way to church this morning, he reminded me. He said, you know you have those books with all them houses in it. Go back and look through there and find the one you want and then start praying. Now, he didn't have to tell me that, did he? Find the one that you want. He said, then start praying. So I know I got the little book that you to build the house and everything. He said, find what you want. We have to be specific in what it is that we desire from God. Because we already know he is a compassionate God and he will take care of us. So whatever it is that you're desiring from God, get a picture of it. Get it in your mind. Write it down. Write that thing down and pray over it. Pray over it. And I tell you something that I did that I haven't been doing lately. I got it on a big piece of paper. But what I did back then when I was praying for my first car, I had it on a little bitty piece of paper. And I would take it around in my pocket, put it in my hand, walk around in the house and just pray over it. All day I just had a little piece of paper. Whatever it is I was believing God for, I would pray over it. Just pray over. So if I had a little book so that if I was in a doctor's office or anything like that, I could just hold it in my hand and I could be sitting there with it in my hand, praying over it and making declarations over it in the name of Jesus, because I believe that he will hear and answer prayers. So while I am praying over this, and one lady came up to me, she's a prophet. She said, when are you going to build this house? Now I hadn't told her, I told y'all, but y'all don't know her. So she says, when are you going to build your house? When are you going to build your other house? That's what she said. When are you going to build your other house? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to get to it. That's all I said. I just said, well, I'm waiting for God to do this. And I don't know, but I'll get to it. Because what? I'm going to get to it. Whenever God opens up that door, all I have to do. And how do I know that he's concerned about it and that he heard me? Because he spoke to me and said, go pick it out. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Go and pick it out. Because what I remind him about, Lord, I quit my job because you told me to. You told me to quit my job. And I quit my job. I liked it a year before getting my bachelor's degree. He had finances in place to pay for that, to pay for gas and everything, to get to school every day, every single day, pay for my classes that whole year. And I quit the job. That's how much money they gave me when I quit the job. I shouldn't have been getting no servants pay and all that kind of stuff. But I did. Why? Because God lined it up. So whatever God lines up for us, it's ours. Nobody can take that away from us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. People that get on our nerves, we pray for. We keep them constantly before the Lord. Why? Because they belong to God, just like we belong to God. So we have to have that faith to see God operate in our lives, to see a miracle take place in our lives. Miracles aren't just healings. They're not just healings. Like we see here, here was a miracle. God did a miracle, but what was he doing? He was feeding the people. So when our miracle come forth for the houses that we're desiring to have, for our family members to be saved, and we know seem like it's just, they just not going to come into the kingdom of God because of their lifestyle or what have you, but God has a way of bringing them in. God has a way of changing whatever needs to be changed. But when we come before God and we get into the word of God for us, for this day, for this hour, for this moment, it's going to take the word of God to change our lives, to get us to the place where he wants us to be. So God is so concerned. He did not have to speak to me this morning about that house at all. He didn't have to say anything. But because I have been coming before him and I have been praying, because I've been coming before him and I've been praying about the house, I have been praying about the car, I've been praying about my nieces and nephews, praying about them, their spouses, and then God just showed me different things. Their spouses to pray for them. Well, pray for this because this is what's going on with them. This is why they act like this. This is why they're doing what they're doing. And God said, pray for them. Amen. Keep them lifted up before me. I'll change it. But we have to understand, give him the opportunity, get in the scripture and find the scripture. He was telling me, he says, I gave the children of Israel houses they didn't build, fields they didn't plant, vineyards they didn't plant, wells they didn't dig. Why? Because everything belongs to him. They belonged to him. Somebody else occupied that land before the children of Israel got there. But he moved those occupants out and he gave the land to the children of Israel because it belonged to him. So whatever it is that we're desiring from God this morning, it belongs to him. And while we are here on this earth, we can petition God for whatever it is we're desiring, for whatever it is that we want. Amen. Get that in your spirit. Don't leave here today without having that in your spirit, that whatever it is that you want for God, he shall supply all of your needs. Why? That is what the scripture says. He shall supply. Not he might. He shall means he is the, when you go and look up shall, it means he is determined to. Amen. God is determined to. He will do it. So if he fed them, then you can imagine what he will do for you. Faith to see a miracle. Here they were, the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to look at again where God feeds the children of Israel. This is children of Israel, Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 1. Exodus 16. We start at verse 1. Now, we know it was by a miracle that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was by a miracle that he did that. He told Pharaoh, let my people go. Let them go. Pharaoh was determined not to, but what happened? He had to let them go. Why? We have miracles that come in different forms. That's why I say a lot of times people just get in their minds that when you talk about a miracle, it's just healing. Is that God heals somebody from some treacherous disease, some awful disease. We see a miracle where God grew out some arms and some legs, where God opened blind eyes. But anytime we see the operation of God take place in somebody's life, that where he completely changes a situation that they couldn't do at all by themselves at all, you know that's a miracle of God. So let's look at this Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, starting at verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at eve then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay, now this is a miracle. This would be a miracle because this is nothing that they've encountered before. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 3. Start at verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 3. Now, this is connecting to what we just read. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manner, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. Oh, I'm going to stop at verse 3. Okay. So he was saying in Deuteronomy verse 3, he says, I fed you in the wilderness. Amen. He fed them in the wilderness. We just read that miracle that took place. They said we had it better in Egypt, but now we've come out here to starve. So we see God, he fed the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and then he was still feeding people in the New Testament. So that lets us know a precedent has been set. God will take care of you. God will make provision for you. If you seem like you're in a place and it's just nothing is going right, not everything just seems to have the appearance of just going wrong, that you're in a wilderness, you're in a place where everything just seems to be going wrong, but God will show up in the situation. God will show up and he will change whatever is going on. He said, I fed you to prove to you that I could feed you. He said, but what you need to understand is you don't live by bread alone, but you got to have the word of God on the inside of you. You have to have the word of God on the inside of you to help you, to strengthen you. To let you know, the word of God let us know who he is, the type of God that we serve, who he is, how he's watching over us, and how he's taking care of us. Amen. He said, so, you know, he said, but you live by every, the man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what did God say? He said, Moses, tell the children of Israel that in the evening, I'm going to rain down flesh. In the morning, I'm going to give them manna from heaven. That's the word of God. He said, tell them that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make provisions for them. So he says, if you believe the word of God and you operate in the word of God, you cannot help but to be blessed. Because the provisions, everything that you're seeking is in the word of God. Whatever you're looking for is in the word of God. So we have to have faith to believe for a miracle. We have to have faith for that, to believe that whatever God tells us, he's going to do. For us as men and women of God, for us, this is what God enjoys doing, taking care of us and blessing us. Because what are we going to do? We're going to tell somebody how good God is. That's the testimony. And not only if we never speak a word, and then folks see you being blessed and they know that you walk in God, that you live for God. And they'll have to say, wow, God really blessed them. Look how God taking care of them. Because I know that they're in God. I know that they walk in God. I know that they're godly. Amen. I know the way they talk and the way they carry themselves. And then your testimony is to them is that this is what God has done for me. This is how God has blessed me. That's your testimony. But then when they look at your lives, how did you get that? How did you do that? Well, I prayed. Like you guys were saying, well, how did y'all drive way down there and all the way back? And what was that? You was talking to God on the way, I'm sure. Probably listening to gospel music, probably listening to preaching, whatever it was. Before you started, when you arrived, when you left, whatever, you talked to God. And you knew in your spirit, man, that God would be with you and God that would take care of you. That's how it is. That's how you know. He says, so you have to mix in the word of God. A lot of stuff that we've accomplished, we know it's the word of God. All the prayers that we pray, amen. I almost feel like I ought to get a diploma.
they're looking at us like, how did y'all do this? Like, all the stuff they did today, they're like, how did y'all get this done?
It's amazing. See, that's God. That's what I'm saying. So when you come back and you say, it was God. We prayed. We did this. And you factor in God and they're looking at you. And for them, the amazement is they know that it had to be somebody helping you. Amen. They knew that it had to be some inner strength. How did you do that? Well, we're saying our inner strength came from God. He built up our inner man, our spirit man. He helped us. He was with us. We felt his presence. He was always with us. Amen. And that's what I'm saying. Faith to see a miracle. faith to see a miracle, to pray and to change things. Think about the impact that you left on your professors when all of them were saying you can't do this. And just think of the impact, that lasting impact that they would be able to say when they were saying we've never had anybody to come in and to be able to graduate. And now they can say, well, we had these two young ladies that came in. And then why? That's the impact. That we never know how we are affecting somebody's life when we encounter them. When God allow us to be in their presence and we're in theirs, and the things that we say and the things that they see that are accomplished through us, through God, through us. When they see that, then you tell them, well, it was God. And they're sitting there and they're looking at you and they have to think about it. That's what God wants to do, make them think about it. And they just have to say, well, I guess it was God. I don't believe in God, but I don't know how that. So they said it was God, so I guess it was God. God can plant a nugget, and that nugget being planted in those professors, being planted in those students, whoever you've encountered, that nugget may get to a point to change their lives at some point down a line that will change their lives forever, because you planted a seed. You come in and you planted a seed, not by as much as you say, but by your actions. But by your actions and how they saw God move in your life. And that's how it is. They're sitting here and he tells them, he says, I fed them because they needed to know that they needed to trust the word of God. He feeds us every day from his word. He says, so if you get in my word, you study my word, you see the signs, you see the wonders, you see the miracles, you see the answered prayers. He said, when you get in the word, you see this. He said, then you know this is how you are supposed to live. Not just by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of my mouth. Not just by you going forth trying to do what you're trying to do in the natural realm. He said, but by every word that comes forth out of my mouth. He said, every word of God. So when we go back into the scriptures, like I said, he didn't have to tell me what. He didn't have to speak to me this morning. He didn't have to remind me to go get the books and go do this. He didn't have to tell me, remember Jesus didn't pay for the car. Remember Jesus didn't pray for the upper room, but it was provided to him. Amen. So what do I do now? I go and stand on the scripture and just tell him. You go and find the scripture for what you want and you just tell him. You said, Lord, but you did it in the word like this. And you said that we don't have to live by just bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of your mouth. And so, Lord, I trust your word. And this is what I'm asking you according to your word. And you said, Lord, every time you pray, Lord, your word says, according to your word, I am standing and I am believing for my house. I'm standing, I'm believing for my house. Because if you provided the children of Israel with houses they didn't build, then you will do the same way for you to do the same thing for me. If you provided Jesus a coat he didn't pay for, a brand new one, then you will provide brand new transportation for me. Amen. So when you pray, you find that scripture. Find the scripture and stand on it. Because I'm telling you, this is how we're going to see the miracles of God take place in our lives. We are at a time in this day and time in this day and hour to see signs, wonders, and miracles. God is going to begin to open up some doors like we have never seen before. We must stand on the word of God. We've got to have the word of God on the inside of us. We cannot let Satan come in and rob us of anything else by telling us that no, you don't have enough money to do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, when we already know that God says that we can. But what he's telling us, get the word. You have to have the word on the inside of you, because if you don't have the word on the inside of you, it's easy for Satan to come in and mess with your thoughts. He can come in and mess with your thoughts and get you to thinking this and get you to thinking that. But when you have the word of God on the inside of you, he can't come in and fight against the word of God, because the word of God is here. That if that little thought come up, the first thing you're going to start doing is quoting the word of God. Oh, no, the word of God says this. Faith to see a miracle. Stand on the word of God. Believe the word of God. And my challenge to you today, and to remind you today, and what the Lord want me to tell you today, whatever it is that you are believing for, you find that scripture. And God is saying to us this morning, when you find that scripture, you're going to see a miracle. God is saying to us this morning, find the scripture and you're going to see a miracle. I don't know what everybody is believing for this morning, exactly all the things that you are believing for. And I've been teaching this and preaching this all year, is that write it down and pray and ask God for it. Find your scripture. Because the only reason we don't have what we are believing for is because we've not found the scriptures, we've not prayed for it, we've not found the scriptures, written it down, and we've not presented it before God. So you say, well, I've prayed for it, but have you found your scripture? So what he's telling us this morning, he's giving us a formula, per se, on what it is that he wants us to do and how we should be doing it. Now, he's not coming against us because we have been praying, but he's saying, I'm telling you how to get to where it is you want to go. I'm telling you how to get what it is you are believing for. So we add our scripture. We find our scriptures and add to what all we have been praying for. What all we've been praying for. We find our scripture because she's been praying for her car and just different things for the house and for the kids. We have been praying for our houses. You got your mindset on your house. Go through. Did y'all get pictures of the house? The front of the house? Okay. Get it. Off of your phone and get it, go to Walgreens or somewhere and get you a big picture made and get it made so you can come through and lay your hands on it and hit it. And, you know, and then if you need be, write your scripture on the bottom of it, because I'm going to go tear mine out the book, make a copy of it and find my scripture and write that and put it before your face. Find the script, find the picture of the car that you've been believing for. Get a picture of it. Keep it in your mind.
We've been praying for
That's a good one. That's an excellent one. And so just add your scripture with it, because that's what he's doing for us in this day and time. We got to have faith to believe for miracles, because he want to do it. He want to do it. And folks want to know, how did you get a house that you didn't pay for? How did you get a car that you didn't pay for? Well, God says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So us, they that dwell. So anytime we're having even a challenge with anybody, that we pray for them because they belong to God. Amen. And what we're believing for, we stand on that word.
Another testimony, like when I got back to work on Tuesday, my supervisor, Terry Michael, we've been praying for her. She gave me a gift and said, congratulations, Dr. Settle. And it was a plaque that had Matthew 16:9. She doesn't believe in God, that whatever you bound on earth will be bound. That's what she gave me. She don't believe in God, and all God, go to church and anything. That's a gift that she gave me.
Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Because you know why? She saw God move in y'all lives. She saw God move in your life. And so she didn't believe in God. But you know what? Like I'm saying, that's a seed that you've sown. Because no matter what, she have seen all the time, the little stuff that they done and the little picking and the conversations that they've had behind closed doors, and then come out and get ready to implement them, and they don't come to pass. So they know God had to be the one to intervene. And then especially when you continue to say, I know what God says. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm praying for you. I'm doing this, you know. And God has to come in and move. And for her to come in and give you that scripture, then you got a seed planted. That's a seed plant. So you don't know if she going home and trying to read. I mean, you don't know, because at that time, that's why I say when we get into workplaces and we're in a workplace, we don't know what God will do with the person sitting next to us, and how when we continue to stand on the word of God, and then we are examples. We don't just say we love the Lord, but we are examples, and they see it month after day after day, month after month, year after year. And they say, well, it is something. They are different from other people, you know. So it's not enough to just say we're Christian, because folks go around saying they're Christians and they don't even have any idea how to live for God. And that's one of the things where I really want to do a lot of teaching, because that's where he has me at. A lot of teaching, because people are not getting what they're supposed to be getting. Amen. This morning I wrote it down. I think it was in the book of, I can't remember what it is, because he took me to it. But anyway, he talked to me this morning about how he had given to the children of Israel, I think it was Jeremiah, how he had given the children of Israel pastors to teach them, pastors' knowledge to teach. And I wrote it down. I said, oh, Lord. I said, that's a good one. I'm trying to see if I wrote it on that. I said, Lord, that is a good one. And he said, And so I said, okay, I'm going to get that and put that on some kind of picture and make a picture so I can hang it on the wall. But he was saying that I've given you, because of the children of Israel had been so disobedient, and he was bringing them back into the own, and he was saying to them, I'm going to send somebody to you to teach the word of God. So just like he's just been talking all morning. That's all I can say. God has just been talking all morning. So he wants us to be blessed. So we should be having testimonies coming in. I'm going to say by the end of the year, we're going to be seeing some stuff happening in our lives, in all of our lives. But if we stand, we must stand on the word of God. We got to apply the word of God with it. And the thing is, get busy. Get tenacious on this thing and get before God and get busy with this thing and pray over this thing. Don't just hit and miss. Fix it where, put this, whatever it is, put it where you can see it every day that you're praying over it. Put it someplace where you know you will see it every day and remind you every day throughout the day to pray for it. Amen. So we want to believe God for that. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for your divine word this morning. We thank you, Father God in heaven, that we have faith to believe for a miracle. Lord, we understand that a miracle is not just that you've healed somebody's body, that you didn't just only open up blind eyes or grow out limbs, but Father God in heaven, you fed thousands of people. Father God in heaven, you gave the children of Israel houses and lands and vineyards and wells that didn't even belong to you, to them, but you gave it to them, Father God in heaven. So we know that you're a God of provision. We know, Father God in heaven, we know you're a God of compassion. We know, Father God in heaven, that you are a healer, you are a deliverer, that, Father God, that you give us our peace and our joy. So, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the word that we can rely on, that we can trust above any word and every word, Father God in heaven. We thank you, Father God in heaven, that it is the word of God that we shall and we live by. We thank you for this day. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Again, I'm Pastor Vanessa Walker, and I would like to invite you to visit with us at Provisions for the Redeemed Christian Center, which is also known as Vanessa Walker Ministries. We are located in Huntsville, Alabama, and can be contacted at provisionsfortheredeemed@gmail.com. Until next time, may God bless you and hope to see you soon.